Good morning. If you haven't seen me before, now you do. I'm Pastor Reggie, and Ibelsa and I are just so overwhelmingly blessed to be a part of this body, and it's crazy how fast time goes, right? It'll be a month before you know it. So let me pray, and we'll get into God's Word. Father, I thank you once again for this incredible time that we can come around your word, Lord, like it is a banqueting table. Lord, I thank you that no matter what we fought through today to get here, through the rain and maybe just crunch time with the kids or whatever, God, I thank you for those that came out today. Lord, I also pray that, God, as we may have been fighting through the week, Lord, of different trials or exhaustion or anxiety or fear or whatever it's been, God, I pray that, Lord, we would see a breakthrough this morning, and that, Lord, you would help us to understand that, Lord, there are things that are worth fighting for, and what is worth fighting for is to be in your presence and among each other. And God, I pray that as we open your word, that you would open our eyes, open our hearts, and that, Lord, we would see you, and open our ears, that we would hear you, and our hearts, that we would understand you better and better. We thank you, Lord, for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We are in a series that I'm breaking up, Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 through 21. And so let me read those with you. I don't want to block the screen either, so Isaiah 43:18 says, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I will give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise." So last week we talked about how what springs forth. Do you not perceive it? So today we're going to look at our perception life. Last week was our thought life. Today is our perception life. And then following up next week with our praise life. Our thought life, our perception life, and our praise life. What's amazing to me in these verses 19 and 20 is that oftentimes when you read certain passages in the Old Testament, you can get kind of lost in either the poetics or in the way it was written. Or I always ask myself, what does this have to do with me? Right? Where's the application? And I really hope that as we look at these two verses, because I told you last week, and if you come and you hear me regularly, you're going to hear me say all the time to read your Bible slowly. That's going to be a mantra. That's going to be something that hopefully we'll get. And what does that mean? To read it meditatively, to really think about it, not just blaze through it like I read five scriptures today. No, what did you get out of it? To really meditate and think about what we're reading and what we're taking in. Isaiah is saying, behold, look at what God is doing. And I don't know about you, but oftentimes what I see is more than what I know God is doing, right? Because what I see in the natural or I see around me somehow becomes more than what I really see what God is doing, right? Because oftentimes what we see in the natural becomes overwhelming, or what we see is what we see, and it's hard to see what God is doing in the midst of what we see. Does that make any sense? And so when I looked up, the word perception has a couple really great definitions. But I want you to listen to what these two definitions are. One is the ability to see, hear, or become aware of something through the senses. Just having the ability. Another definition is the state of being or process of becoming aware of something through the senses. So in other words, it's not just exactly right there, but actually behind what I see. It's having the ability. There was a camp that we used to go to, and I don't remember all of the things, but it was all about, it's not just the bread, but behind the bread was the wheat. Behind the wheat is the rain, and behind the rain is the sun. And it's the whole process. And they had this on a big board in the cafeteria. And it's all about, it's not just what we have right now, but how did we get what we have? And when we look at our perception, it's not just what we see, but also having the ability that our senses, our eyes, our ears, see and hear what God is doing. And I thought, how amazing it is that we take so much for granted, don't we? Right? When you meet somebody who may have a disability or may not be able to see or do or hear, you know, and we just, you know, that's natural. We just, but there's a lot that we need to be thankful for. Just having the ability and being able to walk, being able to see, being able to hear. Where we live in the Bronx, there, I just got a text from a neighbor the other day, last night. And there's a man who is in an electric chair, and he is fairly non-communicative, and he'll just be riding on his powered wheelchair up and down the block and everything. But we found out that he's a believer, and now they're asking me if I would water baptize him. And he is in this wheelchair, and he can hardly talk, but he was able to communicate enough that he wants to be water baptized. And I thought, how amazing it is that this guy who can't really do much in the natural, in the spirit, man, he wants to grow in God. So we're trying to figure out with the home that he is in and his caretakers, how could we do this? But I thought, man, how amazing it is that he would even want this, and that he has the ability, you know, to maybe not get around like you and I can, but still has the ability through his heart and senses that he wants to draw closer to God. I also thought how maybe you've seen these videos of people who are colorblind, and they get these glasses where all of a sudden they can see colors. Have you ever seen those videos? They're pretty incredible. I was watching one the other day, and this man, he's been colorblind all his life. He only sees gray. And his kids had bought, they're very expensive, I guess, these glasses that will help you to see color. And they took them outside, and they had a little kid's pool full of all kinds of colored balloons. And they surprised him with these glasses. And he's like 65 years old, never seen color in his life. And he seemed to be a tough guy, you know, doesn't cry, doesn't have any emotion, you know. And he's like, ah, what's this? Puts the glasses on, and he's crying like a baby. Because for the first time in his life, he's seeing color. And it was so amazing how he just, for the first time in his life, he had the ability to see color. I'm saying all these examples because just to have the ability to see. Now, I'm talking about natural, but Isaiah is speaking to God's people, and he's saying, you may have been, to carry this illustration out, colorblind in your faith. God wants to give you new glasses so that you could see something you've never seen before. And all too often, we get so comfortable, don't we, as people? We just do. We're creatures of habit. We get comfortable in our environment, comfortable with our routines. We only go a certain way because that's the only way you go. Even though there's multiple ways that you could go somewhere, we're just creatures of habit. And I think we can even do that spiritually. where it is what it is. It's always been what it's been. It is what it is, rather. But God is really, when I'm praying through and just saying, Lord, what would you have me to say in our beginnings here at Good News? It was this whole idea of, would you just allow the Lord to put on new glasses, giving you the ability to see that he's actually doing something that you have maybe never seen before? Because Isaiah is saying to look. You need to look at what God is doing. You know, so much we're driven by the media and what's happening in our world, and we become so blindsided sometimes of what God could even do. I don't know about you, but there are times that God has absolutely blown my mind, thinking of there's no way this could happen. And then all of a sudden, God could do something completely out of the box, completely like only God could do that. And if you've never experienced that, you could simply say, God, I need you to blow my mind. I need you to increase my vision of you. I want to see things that you can do that I've never seen you do before, because I know that God is able to do much more exceedingly abundantly. Paul even says in Ephesians, beyond our imagination. And it's all about having the ability. And that ability comes through faith, right? It comes through just leaning in on him and saying, Lord, I want you to show me something new. Show me something fresh. What I did is I kind of cut up these two verses by bringing them out a little bit more, because Isaiah is saying there is going to be a way in the wilderness. Now again, the context is that they came out of Egypt 40 years in the wilderness, right? Just going around and around and around and around, wondering, what are we going to do? How do we get out of this? Where's this promised land? God is saying he will make a way in the wilderness. Rivers in the desert. And this other one that really is like, how do we get around this? Wild beasts and jackals and ostriches will honor. Man, I thought, how can I even? And then the Lord is so good. I'm telling you, the word of God is so fresh and so new and so brilliant when you study it out. I found out in Romans chapter 8, verses 20 and 21, when I just was looking at wild beasts, jackals, ostriches, I'm like, what does this have? How could we take this today? And then Paul writes in Romans 8, 20 and 21, even all creation would be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. That even God would even restore animals. I mean, that's so incredible that God is able to do things that are just so incredible. Even says, again, water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. And I was praying, Lord, how can we apply these two verses? Because you would read it, you know, well, way in the wilderness, water in the, you know, like, okay, what do I do with that? But then I just asked the Holy Spirit, help me to communicate this. And so if I had a whiteboard, which I love using whiteboards, by the way, I would have one column being what we see, and another column saying what he wants us to see. So if you picture that in your mind, two different columns, what we see and what he wants us to see. So for example, we might see a job we don't like. We might see, you know, a boss or coworkers that are just, tolerate it, you know. But what God might want us to see is a witnessing opportunity. We might see financial struggle and financial stress. And, oh, God, do you know what's in my banking account? Maybe you're okay, maybe you're not okay, but we all have financial pressure sometime, right? But then what he might want us to see is an increased dependence on him. When we say, Lord, I don't have much, but then he might want us to see, but Lord, in you, you're my Jehovah Jireh. You're going to provide for my needs. There might be things that we might see that could be like this as well. That I'm frustrated. frustrated with my kids, frustrated with my spouse, my life, my job. I mean, we could just be so frustrated with what's happening in this world. But what he might want us to see or hear, rather, is his voice saying, "Would you cast all your cares on me because I care about you?" Instead of being so bound by what we see in the natural or what we're feeling or hearing, maybe he wants us to have a paradigm shift and say, "Okay, Lord, this is the situation, but Lord, help me to hear you. Help me to see what you want me to see." There's some other very key words in these two verses. And one that Isaiah profoundly says is a three-letter word, now. You know, sometimes we are so praying and asking God and asking God. I mean, I don't know about you, but there are some prayer requests that have been going on in our life and our family for a long time, years and years and years. And you wonder, God, when are you going to answer? Where's this breakthrough? How are you going to do this? And it just gets prolonged and prolonged. And you're like, Lord, are you going to ever answer this? But then when you look at Isaiah, he says, now. Now is such a powerful word, isn't it? It's a present tense word, right? It is present that God is going to do something now. You know, years ago, we had just an experience in our church that we had in the Bronx that just was overcoming that we need to pray now prayers. Does that make sense? That instead of praying, oh God, maybe one day, you know, no, we need to have our faith alive in him and saying, Lord, would you do that now? Lord, I'm believing for you to heal my kids right now. I need you to change my situation right now. And God is not a genie in a bottle, right? That you rub three times and he grants you three wishes. But I also know that when his timing is right, he's got perfect timing. It's impeccable. He's never late. He's never early. And there are verses like Isaiah 43:19 that God is just saying, I'm going to do it right now. Amen? Amen? I got my amen corner. God wants to do something now in our lives. Something now in our children's lives. Something now. And there are long-term prayers that we pray. But there's also a stirring in our faith that needs to be, Lord, I need you to do it now. And the Lord is so gentle and kind and loving that he is able to do something now for us. Another thing that I want to look at is just how present God is in these verses as well. Three things, key words here. I am doing, I will make, and I will give. Aren't you glad that we serve a God who is always doing, always making, and always giving? Can I repeat myself? We serve a God who is always doing, always making, always giving. And you look back in your life and you say, man, I didn't even realize that God was working and doing and giving. But that's how good God is. He's just like an ocean that the waves just crash of his goodness over and over and over again. But are we awake to it? Are we alive to it? Are we perceiving that that was God all along? It wasn't my skill set. It wasn't my education. It wasn't about me at all. It was all about how good God is, that he is always working. He's always doing. He's always giving because that's just who he is. That's the nature of God, that he's always doing and working and giving. I hope I'm stirring your faith up this morning, that God is always working and doing and giving because he's a loving heavenly Father. Amen? But you know, again, God is so faithful with his word. Because in my study time, I was just like, Lord, how do we think about this? That you are always working and doing, and it's now. It's present tense. Then I turned to our friend named Job. Have you ever heard of this guy, Job? What a life he lived. What a life he had through the display of God's sovereignty. And yet, you can look at Job 9:11. Job is writing and he says, "Behold, he passes by me, and I see him not. He moves on, but I do not perceive him." Job had that realization that even though he was going through all that, he had this self-reflective moment, and in another chapter we'll look at in a second, but 9:11 is so amazing. "Behold, look, he passes by me, and I see him not. I don't perceive him." How many times has God really been there, but we didn't really realize it was God all along, right? Maybe you've prayed this, or maybe you will now. "Thank you, Lord, for what you saved me from what I saw and what I didn't even see." That God maybe held you back. Man, I'm late. And God held you back from something happening. If you heard about that tragic plane crash in Brazil, you know, the plane just lost and everybody was killed in that plane crash. But there's story after story of people who missed their flight, or there was problems with communicating what gate that outbound flight was, and so there were multiple people who lost the flight because they were in the wrong gate. And you hear about stories from 9/11 and things that, man, I was late to work and I needed to be at that meeting. Maybe you have experienced it where, man, you know, we're so into, we got to get our thing done. And God is saying, just hold up. You don't know what's ahead. You don't know what I'm saving you from, what I'm keeping you from. Would you just depend on me a little bit more? And Job is saying, man, he passed me by. And I didn't even know he was there. He says also in chapter 23, and in my Bible, in the ESV, the title of the chapter, which is so cool, it simply says, "Job replies, where is God?" Have you ever been there in your faith? God, where are you? Hello. Right? God, where are you? Man, I see this happening to our kids, or this is happening, and I pray, and you don't seem to be there. God, where are you? Man, we all have a chapter 23, don't we? And yet, verse 8 says, "Behold," again, just look. Job says, "I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I do not perceive him. On the left hand, when he is working, I do not behold him. He turns to the right hand, but I don't see him. But he knows the way I take. When he has tried me, I shall come out as gold." If that's not a verse to bank on, if that's not a verse to stand on, where we could totally get what Job is saying here, man, I went forward and I didn't think God was there. I went backward, I didn't think he was there. I didn't perceive him, I didn't see him at all. I didn't behold him. I was doing something on the right and on the left. I just didn't think he was there. But then Job gives this incredible just statement. "But he knows the way I take." Man, that's good. I may not know where God is at times, but he knows where I am. And then he profoundly says, "When he's tried me, I shall come out as gold." And remember, Job lost it all, right? Lost his kids, lost all that, you know, basically his income, right? But it says that all his livelihood, his everything, his property. He was basically left with his wife saying, "Why don't you just, you know, blame God and turn over and die?" You know, like he just lost everything. Boils all over him. Even his friends were, you know, pointing the blame on him. I mean, just this guy was in a hot mess. And yet Job says, "I will come out as gold because I didn't think you were there, but Lord, you knew where I was all along." God's trying to get our attention. God's trying to say, would you just look what I'm doing? Would you just see through the eyes of faith? Stop looking through your natural eyes and just seeing the world around you or your job or, man, this is going this way, but God might want you to say, but would you just see what I'm doing? Sometimes we might have Peter syndrome. Not you, Peter. The Peter in the Bible. Good, I'm glad you're with me. The Peter syndrome. Where Jesus is walking on the water and calls Peter out. I've been to the Sea of Galilee a few times. In fact, a friend of mine, we were on a boat in the sea and we were just joking. We got up on the boat, acted like to jump off just for a photo op, but Jesus was Peter calling out. Peter begins to take a few steps, but he got his eyes off of Jesus and onto what? The waves, the storm, the water. And he began to sink, right? We need to get our eyes back on the Lord. Say, Lord, I want to see what you're doing. I want to hear what you're saying. Lord, remove distractions from my life. So many distractions that we have. You know, get me back on track with you. There's a warning that we can get from Isaiah 6:9. That is repeated multiple times. Many people quote Isaiah 6:9 in the New Testament. But the warning is that people will keep on hearing, they don't understand. They keep on seeing, but they don't perceive. You know, we're living in the last days. Can I get an amen? Because we really are. And a lot of people will, you know, think they're hearing something or, you know, believing something, but they really don't understand or see what's going on. We need to have our eyes on the Lord, not on this or that or things that will get us caught up into so many distractions and get our focus off of Jesus. And so all of this is to just remind us that as Isaiah was speaking to God's people, we need his word to speak to us today and to say, Lord, help me to keep my eyes on you. Help me to really look at what you're doing, hear what you're saying. Get me back in the word and spending time with you, you know, and having intimacy with God, going on a long walk and just hearing from him. Maybe the greatest way to hearing from God is to keep your mouth shut, you know? Just say, Lord, I just want to hang out with you, if you will. I just want to be in your presence and just put the phone in the bedroom and me in the living room just so I can be free from distraction. Lord, I just need to hear you. God, I just want to see what you're doing in the situation that I may see as being grim or frustrating or no end to it. God, you are still at work in this situation. I've got to trust that you are working, you're doing, and you're doing something in my present tense. And so a prayer that I wrote would be, Lord, would you give us and help us to take the blinders off of our eyes, whether they're blinders of fear and doubt and skepticism, and back onto you. Help us to see and hear and understand. Maybe we've been living in a gray, colorless world and we need new glasses that will enable us to see a vivid, colorful, God-filled world that you are at work in us. Lord, help us to see Jesus in our dark world. Amen.